Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Chaf Beis. We are holding on Daf Chaf Aleph and Beis, three lines from the bottom of the page. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his children and in memory of his mother. Today what we're going to discuss is the following. First, we're going to talk about how to be Mekayim Mishtar if there's an error on one of the Dayanim, meaning you have three Dayanim that are ready to be Mekayim Mishtar, and then word comes out that one of these Dayanim is possible. So where do they go from here? How do they take care of that Dayan and then still go about being Mekayim Mishtar? That discussion is going to take us to the Mishnah on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah is going to give us two different cases of Hapesha Asar, of cases where we only know that there's a problem by a person's own admission, but the person also claims that the problem has been addressed or is not really a problem. So we're going to have two different cases of Hapesha Asar, and that's going to lead the Gemara to question, where does the concept of Hapesha Asar really come from? What is the basis of the concept of Hapesha Asar? And then the Gemara on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about the value of an Amasla by an Eishes Ish. Let's say a woman says that, or by a Nida, a woman is propositioned by a man, and she says, sorry, I'm married. And then the next thing, the next day, she's getting engaged to somebody else. So she says, yeah, because that guy was a lowlife. I didn't want to, deal with him. So I just told him, I'm married. So do we believe her? Or do we say, no, she must be an Eishes Ish, and therefore she's not allowed to marry somebody else. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have three different explanations of why, when it comes to Eidus HaChasha, about someone dying, Eidus HaChasha Shemes, we say that in Nises Lo Teitze, we say that if she already got remarried, we're not going to make her get divorced based on the Eidus HaChasha. But when it comes to Eidus HaChasha about whether she's been divorced from her first husband, we say even if Mishanises, if she's already married, remarried Teitze. So why the discrepancy between Eidus HaChasha when it comes to Meis Baila versus Eidus HaChasha when it comes to the fact that she is a Grusha? Why the discrepancy in terms of whether we make her get divorced from the most recent husband? Three different approaches, and that's probably as far as we'll get today. So let's begin. Chaf Alvam Beis, three lines from the end of the page. So says the Gemara, you have three people, three dayanim that sit down in order to be Mekayim Mishtar, because you need a Beis Din to do Kiyum Shtaros, and then all of a sudden rumors start spreading where someone makes a claim against one of them, that one of these dayanim is possible. So ad shelo chasmu, if it's they have not yet signed their approval of the Shtar, they have not yet been Mekayim the Shtar, so mi idin alav, v'chosem, the other two dayanim could testify about the first dayan that they're making claims against, that he's in fact kosher and that all is good with him, and then they can go, all three of them can sign the Shtar, because now they've certified that dayan, so now all three dayan can certify the Shtar. But Misha Chasmu, if the Irurim come after they've already signed the Shtar, after they've already been Mekayim the Shtar, Ein Mi'idin Alav Chosim, you cannot then have the other two Dayanim testify about the one Dayan and sign it, because they are now Nogea Be'edus, because now they really want that Dayan to be Kasher, because they've already been Mekayim the Shtar together with him. So we cannot trust them at this point, once they've already signed the Shtar, to testify about that person. So says Gemara, Ira Demai, but what kind of claim is being made against this Dayan? It's very hard to understand why they can testify about him in advance, but they can't after the fact, if we don't even know what the claim is being made against him. So Ir Demai, what kind of claim is being made against him? Ir the Gazlan Nusa, if the claim is that he's a Gazlan, so Treinidhu. Well, then it's two against two. It's two Edom saying that he's a Gazlan, and these two Dayanim saying that he's okay, in which case they should not be believed anyway. Even if the two Dayanim back him up, the other two Dayanim back him up and say that he's Kasher, even if they have not yet signed, it shouldn't be good enough. It's Eidus HaChasha, it's a Trey. And Eir, the Pekah Mishpacha, and if the claim against the third Dayan is that he's an Eved or something like that, that he's got some sort of Pekah in his Yichus or Pekah Mishpacha, well then Gilim Yosef Yalmahu. Well then for sure we should believe the two Dayanim to testify about the third guy, because they have no Negios over here. They're not biased in this case, because Adraba, if they're caught, if they claim that they know his Yichus is good, and then it's going to be the Megala that his Yichus is not good, they're going to look foolish. So if anything, they're going to be absolutely certain that they investigated the Yichus before they testify about the third guy. So then they should be believed even after the fact. So says Gemara, the olam emelach ir de gazlanusa. The case is that the error was about gazlanus. The claim against the third dayan was that he was a gazlan. Aye, we said, but then it's just two people saying he's a gazlan, two people saying he's not a gazlan. So we shouldn't allow this person to be a dayan. No, v'kamri hani yadin and beidav etshuva. These two dayanim are not saying that he's not a gazlan. They're saying, no, what we know about him is that he's done tshuva. And therefore we agree the first two edim are saying something that's truthful. But since then he's done tshuva, and that's why he's allowed to sign in the shtar. So we believe everybody. We believe all. It's not edus hachasha. It's not contradictory edus. Everyone's saying the same thing. They're saying that he was a gazlan, but now he's able to do tshuva. You see, a very powerful thing, a very fascinating thing, that a person could be a gazlan, he could be a known gazlan, everyone could know that he's a gazlan, and he could still be kosher to be a dayan at a certain point in time, that he's allowed to do tshuva. This is somewhat unusual, because normally in Beis and Shalmata, we don't accept tshuva, right? What if a person were to be accused of murder in Beis Din, and they bring him in front of Beis Din and say, Ruvain, why did you kill Shimon? And Ruvain says, I didn't kill Shimon. They say, what are you talking about? We have two Edim, Hasra, the whole thing. Of course you killed Shimon. And he says, no. This body killed Shimon, but I have since done tshuva, so I am an ish acher, I've turned over a new leaf, I found God, I found religion, so I didn't kill Shimon. So what does Beis Din do? They say cute, but then they execute him, right? Meaning then they kill him. Beis Din Shalmata doesn't accept tshuva, yet we do find that in order for a person who was pasul le'edus to become kashul le'edus, who was pasul le'dayonus to become kashul le'dayonus, that we do allow for tshuva in such situations. So we hear by your ear, the gazlanusa, guy could be a known gazlan, and there is a path to tshuva for him. What is that path to tshuva? So Rashi writes over here that David tshuva, the heshivas gzela, that he was meshivas gzela, meaning how can we measure if he did tshuva? Tshuva involves charata. Do I know whether he really has charata over what he did? Tshuva involves kabbalah. You can't read a person's mind. You can't know if he did all the steps of tshuva. No, but you can know if it's something that's rectifiable, did he rectify it? That the heshivas gzela is a mitzvah to return that which he stole, and you can know that he in fact returned that which he stole. So Amar Rabbi Zera, Hamil Sibir Rabbi Abba Shmiel Levi, Ilav Rabbi Abba Demin Akol, Shechachta, that I heard the following teaching from Rabbi Abba, and if had it not been for Rabbi Abba Demin Akko, then I would have forgotten it. Gimel Sheyashu L'kayim Es Hashtar, if you have three people that sit to be Mekayim Hashtar, Umeis Echad Mehem. Now in this case, it's not that one of them had an accusation against him, so one of them dropped dead. They're all tzaddikim, all three dayanim are tzaddikim, and one of them drops dead. So Tzrichon L'michtav, and now they're ready to, they were all in agreement to be Mekayim Hashtar, but they couldn't all sign it because one of them is dead now. So how did they sign the bottom of the star? So tzrichu lemichtav b'meisav t'lasa avina v'chad l'sohi. They have to say, we sat here b'meisav t'lasa, we sat here as a moshav t'lasa, as dayanim, and one of them is no longer with us. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, v'kasa b'shtara dinan nafak l'kadmana b'edina sulo tzaruch. That if they write that this star came in front of a Beis Din, was taken in front of a Beis Din, they don't need to write anything else. So says Gemara, what do you mean they don't need to write anything else? If there are only two signatures on it, isn't it going to look like that there were only two dayanim on this Beis Din? So the Gemara is assuming, no, but they said it came in front of a Beis Din, and Beis Din always means three people, so it doesn't matter that only two people were alive to sign it. Everyone will realize that if it says it came in front of a Beis Din, then we know that it must be three people, and that it's a kosher shtar. But frankly, Gemara, does Beis Din really necessarily mean three people? V'dilma Beis Din Chatzofu. Maybe we're dealing with the Beis Din Chatzof. Ukid the Shmuel, Damer Shmuel. Shmuel has this chiddush la'alacha that Shnayim Shadanu Dineim Din El Shnikar Beis Din Chatzof. That if two dayanim judge a case, the din counts. It is a din Torah, and it's just that we call them a Beis Din Chatzof, but it is a Beis Din. So how can you tell me that if one of the dayanim dropped dead, all they need to do is say that it came in front of a Beis Din, and then have two edim sign it, saying it came in front of a Beis Din is not enough information, because that may make it seem that it only came in front of two dayanim, not three dayanim, because even two dayanim is called a Beis Din Chatzov according to Shmuel. So says Gemara, "Dichsiv be Beidina d'Ravana Ashi." No, they write that it came in front of the Beis Din of Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi did not hold that two dayanim are good enough. Maybe some of Rav Ashi's dayanim held like Shmuel that you only need two dayanim. So maybe it's not enough to say it came in front of the Beit Din of Ravana Ashi. No, what they actually write in the Shtar is that Rav Ashi himself instructed us to be Mekayim the Shtar. Ooh, that already makes it sound like there are three dayanim, because Rav Ashi himself never would have allowed that with two dayanim. Rashi has two interpretations of what the Gemara means over here when it says Va'amar Lana Ravana Ashi. No, first interpretation is what we said. The Rav Ashi instructed us to be Mekayim the Star. The Kibud Rav Ashi Gufei is Kikon Ihu Vadei L'Tosa Amar. since Rav Ashi is the one that has that encouraged them to be mekayim the shtar, so he certainly meant that only with a base of three people. But then Rashi says, "V'yesh mevarshin v'amar lana Rav Ashi t'lasaninu." If I say that Rav Ashi told us, so us means it's at least two people, because that's a plural. So va'amar lana Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi told us, that means there were three people involved. So that itself is the Beis Din. Rav Ashi was part of the Beis Din. So says Rashi, but that's not the correct shot over here. Because what we're saying is va'amar lana Rav Ashi, the Nusach of the Shtar says that Rav Ashi told us to be Mekayim the Shtar. If Rav Ashi was one of the members of the Beis Din, he can't have in the Nusach of the Shtar that's written from the perspective of the Beis Din that Rav Ashi told us. He is Rav Ashi. So it doesn't make sense that it would be that Rav Ashi was one of the Dayanim. Rather, it's three other Dayanim certifying that Rav Ashi, in fact, told them to be Mekayim the Shtar. You always have to be sensitive to a Lashon of a Shtar. Sometimes a Shtar is written from the perspective of Edim, and sometimes a Shtar is written from the perspective of Dayanim. So when a Shtar is written from the perspective of Edim, there are only two signatures on the bottom, the two Edim, and it says Anan Sahadi. When it's written from the perspective of Dayanim, so it doesn't say Anan Sahadi, because it's not the witnesses that are talking, it's the Dayanim that are talking. The big nafkamin is the difference between an Ashkenazi ksuba and a Sephardi ksuba. An Ashkenazi ksuba is written from the perspective of Dayanim. It does not say Anan Sahadi, typically. Rav Shechter altered the Nusach a little bit. He has his own Nusach of a ksuba, where he does include Anan Sahadi, and a Sephardi ksuba always includes Anan Sahadi. So Rav Shechter points out that if you have a typical standard Ashkenazi ksuba that does not have Anan Sahadi, if let's say someone loses their ksuba, luchari, you shouldn't do a ksuba at night, because the Maisa Beis Din is not done at night. Maisa Beis Din should only be done during the day. We do ksubas at night all the time. The wedding is at night, let's say in the winter time where shkia is at like 4:30, so the wedding very often, the ceremony is at night. Someone loses their ksuba. I was at someone's house one Shabbos and I noticed their ksuba was puzzled, so they came over to my house after Shabbos to rewrite the ksuba. So you do that all the time. That also happens at night. So that would make sense. If it's an Anan Sahadi, it makes less sense if it's a Maisa Beis Din. Okay, let's pick up with the Mishnah now. But Yishe Shamra, so again, this Mishnah is going to have two cases of a Pesha Aser. Number one, Yishe Shamra, Eishas Ish, Yisi Grushani. A woman says, I was an Eishas Ish, so yes, I was once married, but I received a get. I'm divorced. Nemenes, she's believed that she is right now single. The only way we ever knew that she was an Eishas Ish was by her own admission, and therefore she has the authority to tell us that she's no longer married. But if we knew independently that she was an Eishas Ish, there were Edim that she's an Eishas Ish, and then she says, oh yeah, that's true, but I'm a Grusha now, she's not believed, because then she doesn't have a Pesha Asar. We knew before she told us anything that she was an Eishas Ish. Similarly, second case, Amr Nishbesi Utaorani Nemenes. If a woman says, I was held captive, but I wasn't taken advantage of, they did not violate me, she's believed, because we never went Shapesha Asaru Apeshiter. We never would have even known that she was taken captive. The only way we know she was taken captive is because she told us she was taken captive. But if there are Edim that she was taken captive, so we already knew she was taken captive, and then she says, oh yeah, but nothing happened to me, Eina Nemenes, then we do not believe her. And if let's say she's the one that told us I was usher, and but don't worry, I became mutter again, and then we said okay, good enough, and we let her get married, and then after she gets married, Edom come and say, oh, by the way, we knew that she was an Eishas Ish or a captive or whatever, so then we let her stay married. Because at the time that we gave her that heter, and at the time that Pasuk Pshat in the Mishnah, at the time that she got married, she was a Pesha Asar. She was the only source of information that she was Asar to begin with. Okay, so says the Gemara, Amr Vasi, Minay la Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir Min HaTorah. Where do we find this Din Min HaTorah, this Din Daraisa called the Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir? So Shenemar, it's based on the Pasuk. Pasuk says, as Biti Nasati Li'ish Hazel Li'ish, that a man is able to say, I gave my daughter to this man for a wife. So what are we darshan from there? Le'ish asara hazeh hitira. When he says, I gave my daughter to a man. So right away she's an Eishas Ish, and now she's usher to the whole world, because we don't know who that man is. But then he says, hazeh, he points to the guy and says, and that's the man. So now she's muteres, because she's muteres to that man, because that is her husband. So that's Hapesha Asar, the same father who says that he gave his daughter over for Kedushin, who? Hapesha Hitir. He's the one that is being matir her to her own husband. So says the Gemara, Lam Amli Kras Varuhu, Hu Asaravu Sharila. Why do I need a pasuk for that? Isn't that very obvious? Isn't it logical that the Gemara has very often Shas Lamli Kras Svarahu, that Svara is also one of the Mitzvot Shatar and Dreshes Ben. You don't need a pasuk if something makes perfect logical sense. That's also Din Daraisa. Kal V'chomer is a very high form of Svara, right? So it's also the basis of a Din Daraisa when something is based on Svara. So why do I need a pasuk? It's a Svara. Elikis or Kralich Drav Hunamirav. No, you know what the pasuk is there for? Not to teach me a Pesha Asar or Pesha Yitir. It's for Hunamirav taught. Amar Hunamirav, Minayin Lav Shnem Unless Was Bitum in a Torah. How do I know that a father is believed to Asar his daughter in a Torah? Shnemar is Biti Nasati Liish. Hazeh lamali. Why does it have to add the word hazeh? To teach me what Rabbi Yonah taught. To tell Rabbi Yonah, speak in the sadi lish hazeh, hazeh velo liyavam. To tell me that hazeh velo liyavam, that if a yavam is motzi shem ra about his brother's marriage to this woman, then you don't have all the dinim of motzi shem ra of paying the mayor kesef or anything like that. So it's a two-part drasha. First drasha is just from saying esbiti nasati l'ish, we see that a father is believed to asar his daughter. But based on that drasha, there's an extra word in the pasuk, hazeh. So what's hazeh teach me? A totally separate din, that there's no din called motzi shemra when it comes to a yavam. Din of motzi shemra is only when it comes to the actual husband. If the husband died and the yavam and his brother is now doing yibum with the woman, she can't say that she had cheated on my brother when they were be'erusin. Right? He's not able to be motzi shemra on his brother's marriage, on his brother's original marriage. So to make a long story short, we had asked, what's the basis for a pesha asar or a pesha hitir? So first we thought it's the pasuk is biti nasati le'ish, that's pesha asar, hazeh hu a pesha hitir. Then the Gemara says, no, that's a svara, I don't need that pasuk to teach me that. What does the pasuk teach me? As biti nasati le'ish, that a father is neman to asar his daughter, and hazeh tells me that there's no din motzi shemra when it comes to a yavam. Now even the basis of that first limud, what's that first limud? How do I know a pesha asar a pesha shehitir? Because it's biti nasati le'ish, and then he could say hazeh. So Tosis points out that it sounds like the only reason a father is believed to identify his daughter's husband, the man that he sold his daughter, that he gave his daughter away to in marriage, is because of this migo, because of Apesha Asar. So it says Tosos, it should therefore turn out that what if a father says today, I gave my daughter over to a husband, and he doesn't identify. And then a month later, 2 months later, he comes back and he says, oh, I'm big reveal today. I'm ready to identify who the man is. And here is the husband I gave my daughter. So there's no longer a pesha asar. It was months ago that he had already asked her. So she's already muhsak as an eshes ish. So then maybe he shouldn't be believed to say after some time because he doesn't have amigo. And that's lechara very difficult. How can we say that? That the father's not going to be believed after some time to identify who his daughter's husband is. So it says also tema dimba echad varmer kidashi esbiti lachar sha'a o lemachar. Omer Luploni Kidashtia Lo Yenemen Kivadasha like a Migo. He shouldn't be believed because there's no Migo. So Tosis has two answers. Number one, Vomari Divinian Zashin Associate Varvarishonim Lobel Farish Varvarishonim Mehemen. That when the father is only coming later to further elaborate on his initial statement, then he's going to be believed. He's not coming to contradict anything he had said earlier. He's simply elaborating. He said that he gave his daughter to a man. He never identified that man. Now he's elaborating on the details of exactly who the man is. So that's where he's going to be believed, even without amigo. Over here, we're darshaning from his biti nasati leish hazeh. Hazeh implies that the man was there the whole time. So why didn't you elaborate at the beginning? If he was here, hazeh always means you're more bad, something you can point to, because it's right there, right? Whenever we have zeh, it always means that it's something that you can point right to, that it's right in front of you. So if he was there the whole time, why didn't you say something? So in that case, we need the migo of hapesha asar, hu hapesha hitir. Furthermore, Tosas suggests, maybe, deikal meimer afilu b'chiyai gavna mehemen below migo, that maybe in a chinami, that you're right, there would be, you don't need a pesha, so you don't need a migo over here, but it's an extra pasuk. And since we have a concept in Halacha called the Me'ino Inyan, Tineo Le'inyan, if it's not here to teach me what it sounds like it's teaching me, so it must be teaching me something about a different parsha in the Torah. Okay, Vaitu in the Gemara now. Tana Rabbanan, Isha Sharma Isha Sishani, the Chazavam Rapnuyani. a woman says, I'm a married woman, and then next thing we know, she's going around, posting her profile on Saw You at Sinai, you know, as if she's a single girl. So, Ne'emenes, she's believed. I've, Shavu, or YU Connects, or I think they're the same now, right? Saw You at Sinai, whatever. On any of these Shidduch, one day you'll know, on any of these Shidduch sites, right? So, Shavu Nav Shechaticha Disura, why is she believed? She already said she's an Eshadish. Whatever happened to Shavya Nav Shechaticha Disura? No, the case is that she gave a good excuse as to why she lied about being married in the first place. She's not believed normally if she says she was an Eishes Ish, and then the next day she comes back and says, but I'm not an Eishes Ish. But if she comes back with the reason why she was claiming to be an Eishes Ish the previous day, then she is Ne'emenes. There was once a very chashuv woman. Gedola over here does not mean physical stature. It means that she was gedola benoy. She was very beautiful and she was a very chashuv woman. So you can imagine she was a catch on the shidduch market. She was from a chashuv family. She was beautiful. So v'kavtzu aleha b'nei adam l'katcha. So everyone was all the big shadchanim were after her. Everyone wanted to be mekadisher. So v'amr lehem mekudeshesani. So she told all these men that were after her, sorry, Mekudesh Sani, I'm already taken, right? Meaning a lot of times sometimes you wanted to get the Shadchanim off your back. So you say, no, too late, I'm busy, I'm taken. So instead of I'm busy, they didn't have such a thing as busy then. So he said, I'm taken, I'm already Mekudesh, it's already too late. So Liyamim Amda V'kitcha Satzma. And then a week later, Mazel Tov, she gets engaged. So Amrullah Chachamim, Mari Salasus Kain. So the Chum said to her, wait, a week ago you told us you're already married. What exactly happened over here? Did you see the crew of guys that were after me last week? These were people that were I would never want to spend the rest of my life with. I wouldn't even want to spend 5 minutes with them. So Amarti Mukadash Hasani, the easiest way to get them off my case, instead of saying you're a lowlife, I have no interest in you, much easier to say Mukadash Hasani, I'm off the market. Right? So that's what I said. But now Prince Charming came on his white stallion or whatever. So now I was blown away by this. So Amarti Mukadash Hasani. So I went over and I gave kiddushin. And this is one of the piskei halacha that they taught in front of the chacham in Usha. And they said, if she has a good explanation as to why she said initially that she was asura, she is ne'emenes. So what about in a different context? What about if she's not claiming she was nashis ish, but initially she claimed tamei'a ani? She told her husband, can't touch me because I am a nida. So then, and then a few hours later, she says, oh, by the way, I'm not a nida. So perfectly fine. So Amar Lei, so Mal, what's the din? So Amar Lei, af bezu, im nasa masal dvareha ne'emenes. So over here also, if she gives an masal dvareha, she's going to be believed. He learned it from him, that halacha from him 40 times, and still Shmuel couldn't do it halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa, he did not rely on the amasla. If you look in Tosos, that Rach Hevi Yerushalmi, that there's Yerushalmi that has a slightly different version of this story. That Shmuel Ba Lizdakuke Li'itzeh. Shmuel was trying to have bia with his wife. So Amrulay, she said to him, Tamei ani, I'm sorry, but I'm Tamei. Ulamachar Amra, Tahora ani. And the next day she said, I'm Tahora. So Amrullah, Etmol Tamei, Yom Adain Tahora. He said to her, what's going on over here? Yesterday you said you're Tamei, and today you say you're Tahora. So Amrulay, Etmol lo havas bi chila. Yesterday I just didn't have the koach like I have now. So they asked Rav, that if she gives a reasonable excuse as to why she would have told something that was untrue yesterday, then she's nemenes. It's all simon in Shulchan Aruch in Yaradeya about a masla, about when a woman is believed to say that that when she claimed to be a nida, that she wasn't really a nida. So that's a whole discussion about a masla. There's a tshuva in the Bach where he says that it's dafka if the initial statement was not made in Beis Din. Then she can give an amasal dvareha. But if her initial statement was made in Beis Din, that carries a certain seriousness to it. That can't be something that she could just say later, JK, you know, it wasn't really true. I was just trying to get an easy way out. You don't do that with a Beis Din. You do that maybe in personal, private, conversation. The Hafla writes similarly that if the Hodah was in front of Beis Din, you can't give an Amasa. Rabbi Akiva Eger has a tshuva where he disagrees with that idea. There is an interesting discussion in Poskim. In Parshas Toldos, it says, Vayeshev Yitzchak begrar, Vayishlo Anshei HaMakom LeIshto VeYomer Achos Yihi. Yitzchak was in Grar, everyone asked about Rivka, and he said, she's my sister. Kirei Lomer Ishti. He was afraid to say that she's my wife. Penya Hargeni Anshei HaMakom Al Rivka Kitovus Marehi. Because people would kill him because she's so beautiful. And then a while later, what happens? Avimelech is looking out the window about a chalon, and he sees Yitzchak is mitzachek as Rivka Ishto. He sees that Yitzchak is being intimate with Rivka. So Rashi writes that means that he saw that he was meshamish mitaso. So ask the Achronim, when Yitzchak said achosihi, she becomes asura to him, and achos is asur kol dematan Torah. So how could Yitzchak be meshamish mita? Meaning, after all, he already had said achosi. So shavya nafshei chaticha di isura. So if shavya nafshei chaticha di isura, how could it be that she would be muteris to him? So there are like five different answers that Achronim give to this question. The tshuvas harama. The Rama has a tshuva where he deals with this question. So the Rama writes that since he had an amasla, he said, ki yorei lomar ishti penya hargeni. He had an amasla as to why he claimed that she was his sister. Because I was afraid I was going to get killed. And when you have an amasla, when you have a reason or an excuse as to why you would have lied the previous day, then you're believed to change your mind and to say that in fact she is ishti. Pischi tshuva writes that shavi anafshe is only said by something that's tali b'maisa, not by something that's tali in a metzias. So if he says about his wife that she's achoso, he could change his mind. Because that's a metzius. She either is or isn't. Whereas when you say, nida, that's an event that happened. That's about something. When you say eshes ish, that's an event that happened. But you just say achosi, that's just a metzius. So we don't say shavya nafshe when it comes to something that's a metzius. Achronim also suggests that when there's yadayim mochichos, that he's lying, we don't say shavya nafshe. So a person who says about his wife that it's ishto, so she doesn't necessarily become nasaras because it's yadayim ochichos. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he suggests differently. He says, this is before Matan Torah, so they still follow the din of Bnei Noach. We don't find the din of shavya nafshe, chaticha di isura, among the dinim of Bnei Noach. So he was allowed to claim that he was that she was his sister, and as long as he knew that it was really his wife, he was allowed to be with her. So therefore there's no violation of shavya nafshe, chaticha di isura. All of this might go back to what the basis of Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Yisura is. That if you say like the Truma Sakri, it's that he's that as long as he believes something to be true, he has to follow through on that. So then Lechora, there wouldn't be a problem because he knew what the truth was. So as long as he knew that the truth was that it was his wife, then Lechora would not have been a problem in the first place. Okay, says the Gemara now. Tana Rabbanan. So now we have a Braisa. This Braisa is going to take us through the rest of the Daf. So Shnayim Omrim, meaning the analysis of this price at least. Shnayim Omrim Meis, Shnayim Omrim Lo Meis. You have two witnesses that say that the husband is dead, and two witnesses that say that the husband is not dead. Shnayim Omrim Niskarsha, Shnayim Omrim Lo Niskarsha. Or in another case, two witnesses say the woman is divorced, two witnesses say they're not divorced. Harezu Lo Tinase. So she's not allowed to get remarried because you have Hachasha whether she is currently in Eishes Ish. Vim Nises. But if she already got remarried, Lo Teitzei. You do not force her to get divorced. Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi Omer Teitzei. Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi says you do force her to get divorced. I'm Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi Emesai Ni Omer Teitzei. But when do I say Teitzei? Bizman Shabo Edim Vachar Kach Nises. That's only if the Edim came first and then she got married. Av Nasav Vachar Kach Bo Edim Lo Teitzei. But if she got married and then the Edim came, then she does not have to get divorced because she's already married. So frankly, we're michti trei minu habal basham talukai. Wait a second. This is two witnesses against two witnesses. Lechora, whoever is boel her is a violation of basham talui. So how can you say if she's already married, let her stay married? What do you mean, let her stay married? There are two witnesses that are saying that she's married to another man. So anyone who's boel her is in violation of something that's a chiyuv basham talui. So Rav Sheish is going to nisis lechem me'edeha. No. The man that she got married to is one of the witnesses that said that she's not married. So he knows that she's not married. So he's not chayev in Hashem Talui. So it says Mari, he gufa b'Hashem Talui kaima. Yeah, but she's going to be chayev in Hashem Talui. Says Mari, no, b'omer is bari li. She says, I know that it's true. That I know that I received a get. Or I know that my husband is in fact dead. So if she knows that it's true, then neither of them is in violation of anything that would involve an Asham Talim. Tosfos raises a technical question. Normally, in order to be chayv an Asham Talim, you need what's called chaticha achas mishtei chatichos. If, let's say, you just have one piece of meat, and you're just not sure, is it chaylev, is it shuman, is it kosher, is it not kosher, and you eat it, that is not a chiyuv Asham Talim. Chiyuv Asham Talim is you have two pieces of meat, you know that one of them is kosher, one of them is not kosher, you can't identify which is which, and then you ate one of them. That's an Asham Talim. Chaticha achas mishtei chatichos. So how could the Gemara suggest that by sleeping with this woman, it's going to be chayiv and Asham Talui? It's not going to be chayiv and Asham Talui. It's one woman that you have a suffix about. It's not that I know one of these women is my wife and one of them isn't, and I just don't know which is which. That would be an Asham Talui case. That's not what's going on over here. So Tosfos raises that question in Dibur Maskel Asham Talui. That afilu man debayi chatichas mishtei chatichos. So over here you don't need shtei chatichos. Demand the mifarish parak savi gachal time of the bina chaticha mishtei chatichos mishum de'efshal levari suro pirush efshal levari al yidei baki shiyakir chaticha nesheres im chelet yim shuman hi. So achanami efshal levari al yidei azama. What's the svara to say you need chaticha achas mishtei chatichos? The svara is that it's efshal levari suro, that if one of these pieces is shuman and one is chelet, someone who's an expert butcher will be able to come one day and say, oh yeah, I know that cut of meat, that's shuman. I know that, that's chaylev. So since it's efshal levarari suro, that's when you chayv nashim tali. Over here also, there's a dispute among the edim whether her husband is dead. It's efshal levarari suro. At some point, we may find out if the husband is in fact alive or dead. So therefore, it would still be ba'ashim tali. The Tosfos says another possibility. If you say that chatichas mishtei chatichos is necessary because you need to have a cheskas iser, so here also you have a cheskas iser. She was becheskas eishes ish. And the third answer, inami lav asham tali mamish ka'amar el ka'amar. The Isur Asham Talui. The Gemara never meant to say that you're actually Chayiv in Asham Talui. The Gemara meant to say that you're violating an Aveira that is an Isur that relates to Asham Talui, but not that you're actually Chayiv in Asham Talui. Okay, so Amar Rabbi Yochanan. I said that Bryce was going to be the rest of the daf. I made a mistake. Here's the rest of the daf. This comment. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Shnayim Omer Meisu, Shnayim Omer Lomis. Two Edim said that the guy's dead. Two Edim say he's not dead. Harezu lo tina. Sevim Nesis lo teitse. She's not allowed to get remarried, but if she does, she doesn't have to get divorced. Shnayim Omer Niskarsha, Shnayim Omer Lomis Niskarsha. But if two Edim say that she's divorced and two Edim say that she's not divorced, Harezu lo tina. Say she still can't get remarried. But Vimnisei's Teitze, in this case, even if she's gotten remarried, she's going to have to get divorced. So, Frek the Gemara, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. Why, when we have two contradictory sets of Edim, whether her husband is dead, we say as long as she's already gotten remarried, she can stay that way. Yet, when we have two contradictory sets of Edim, whether the husband gave her a get, even if she got remarried, we're gonna make her get divorced. Why the difference, the discrepancy between the two cases? Three approaches. Approach number one, Amar Abaye, Tirgama be'ed echad. That the case is not two edim, it's one aid. Eid echad Amar Meis, himnu rabbanim b'kivei trei. So if one aid comes and says the husband is dead, so we know that because of takanos agunos, if one aid says that the husband is dead, he's automatically believed as if he is two edim. So if one aid said that he's dead, that's ki'ilu, you have two edim that the husband is dead. Like Ula taught us, whenever the Torah believes in Eid Echad, it's as if it's two Eidim. And then you have one Eid that says, no, the husband's not dead. He's only one Eid. So one Eid is not going to be believed against two Eidim. So it's funny, you have two people that walk into Beis Din, each one is an individual person. He's one man saying the husband's dead, another man saying not dead. And what does the Beis Din tell the man that says that the husband is not dead? You're going up against two Eidim. What do you mean? I see the guy, it's only one Eid. Yeah, but we believe him, Kibay Trey. He has the Namanus of two Eidim. And therefore, you're not authorized to go up against two Eidim, and we don't believe you. So, Frank Namar, Yachyafil Chachilanami. Then why did we say that she's not allowed to get remarried to Chachila? Meaning, if the guy that said that her husband is dead is believed, Kibay Trey, let her get remarried even to Chachila. No, Mishum Dravasi. Dam Ravasi, Hasar Mimcha Akshuspev Zus Vasai Marchek Mimecha. That a person should stay away from things that smack of untruthfulness or that seem like they're trouble. So this seems like a trouble situation. Seifa Eidech Roman is Karsha. But in the case of the contradictory Eidim about whether she's divorced, so let's play it out. One Eid says she's divorced, Eidech Roman Lo Niskarsha. And one Eid says she's not divorced. So think about it. If by both of them, their only argument is whether she got divorced, everyone's agreeing that she was once married. So it's Ravayu Beishas Kamasadi. They're both testifying that she was once an Eishas Ish. And the one that's saying that she's divorced is going up against two Eidim. One of them is himself, right? Meaning the two, both of them came into Beis and saying, oh yeah, that we were at that woman's wedding. She got married 6 months ago. And then one of them says, and she got divorced a month ago. And the other one says, no, she didn't. So now you have two Eidim that she was married, only one Eid that she got divorced. And that's why the halacha is that even if she got remarried, we're going to make her tetzei. We're not going to allow her to stay remarried. That's all one mahalich. Rava Amar, mahalich number two. Liolam treu treininu. Really, it's like we thought it was saying. It's two Eidim against two Eidim. V'ra Rav Yochanan d'var v'shal Rav Nachman Rav Yossi begerishin v'lo ra b'misa. And Rav Yochanan wanted a paskin like Rav Nachman Rav Yossi. Remember, Rav Nachman Rav Yossi was in the Brisa on the top of the page, who said that I only say teitze if the Eidim came before she got married. But if she got married first and then the Eidim came, then lo teitze. So Rav Yochanan agrees to that when it comes to gerishin, but not when it comes to misa. My time, misa eini yuchala machashto. When it comes to misa, there's no contradicting it. She's not going to be able to contradict it. Gerushin yuchal machashto. By gerushin, she could deny it. She can say that I did receive a get. Meaning, if the husband were to walk into court, if she was swearing up and down, yeah, my husband is absolutely dead, and then he walks into court, there's nothing she could say. He's alive, obviously, if he walked into court. So she's going to be darn sure to make sure that her husband is dead before she claims that her husband is dead and gets remarried. So therefore, we're going to give her a little more trustworthiness on that front and allow her to stay remarried. But to claim that she's a grusha, that's easy for her. Because even if the husband walks into court and says, I never divorced her, she could say, liar, and that's why I wanted to divorce you in the first place. Because you're such a liar, you absolutely did divorce me. So there's nothing that's gonna show her up. There's nothing, and therefore it's easier for her to lie about something like that. And that's why we're going to be more strict on her, that she's going to have to be teitzei. So frankly, do you really assume she's going to have the chutzpah to claim to have received the get when she didn't? Normally, if a woman says to her husband, you divorced me, she's believed, because we assume that she wouldn't have the chutzpah to lie straight to her husband's face. So says Marna, that's only when there are no edim that are helping her out. But if she has Eidim claiming that she's divorced, it will be very easy for her to lie even to her husband's face and say that I am divorced, because she has two witnesses that are saying the same thing. So she's happy to share in that lie, and that's why we're always a little bit suspicious when she claims that she's divorced, and we're not going to let her get remarried, so much so that even if she did get remarried, says Rabbi Yochanan, teitze, we're not going to allow her to stay remarried. And then a third answer. Ravasi Amar Gonda Amri Eidim Achshav Meis, Achshav Girsa. So, Girsa. That the case is that the Eidim come and they say that right now, that just recently the husband died, just recently the husband was Megarisher. And there were other Eidim that were Machish and saying that he didn't divorce her. So, Misa Lekal Avrura. When the two Eidim said that he died and two other Eidim are Machish and they say that he didn't die, so it's Lekal Avrura. We can't clarify whether he died or not, because if he drowned in an ocean or he was devoured by a lion, there's no way to prove what the Eidim are saying. So therefore, lo teitze, because you can't ask her to prove that her husband is dead, because there is no proof. She can say, what do you mean prove my husband is dead? I have no body. Nebuch, his body was devoured by a lion. So you have to let her stay married, because there's nothing more you could ask of her. But gerushin, ikul avur, tamrin lo emisa dach yava, achsilon gitech. But if her claim is that she just recently got divorced, we say, okay, great. You know what happens at every divorce? A man gives a wife a get. So if you really got divorced, show us your get. And if she's unable to produce the get, so then we can say, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to get remarried. And if you did get remarried, you're going to have to go, you're going to have to divorce that second husband. You're going to have to leave that second husband, because we don't believe that you really got divorced. Otherwise, you would have brought a get. So again, long story short, the Gemara asks why it is that when we have Eidus HaChasha about whether the husband is dead, we said that if she gets remarried, she can stay remarried. But if you have Eidus HaChasha whether the husband has divorced her, even if she got remarried, Rabbi Yochanan says she's not allowed to stay remarried. So we had three approaches how to answer that question. Abaye answered by saying that it was Eidus HaChash of Eid Echad versus Eid Echad, not Shnei Eidim versus Shnei Eidim. Rava says that Rabbi Yochanan was willing to rely on Rabbi Nachum and Rabbi Yossi by Gerishin, but not by Misa, because Misa is she'll be absolutely sure before she claims Misa, because she knows her husband could walk in at any time if he's alive. And then Rav Asi had said that the claim was that it just happened. So if it just happened, yeah, let us see the get. If you can produce a get, then we'll believe you that it in fact just happened. Okay, but Hashem, well, tomorrow we're not going to be together, but you should pick up Tanur Rabban on three lines at the bottom of the page tomorrow, and I guess on Sunday, we'll, right? Sunday? Maybe like 6, should we do like 6:20, like at the very end? 6:20? 6:20, okay.